whether you're a generative writer and you love just sitting down and creating stuff, or whether at the end of the day, you actually really prefer to edit and generating is hard for you. There's all of these different variables which go into being a happy writer.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. Today, I have with me a writer, a reader, a actor, narrator, somebody who wears many creative hats. Welcome, Yvette Keller.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. I'm just wondering, how did you, I know you probably have a lot of physical hats as well, but you've got these metaphorical hats. So where did you get all of these creative endeavors, and how do you manage them?
Well, I will answer the first question and then tell you that I am always working on the second one. So I actually went to UC Santa Cruz after doing a ton of acting and being a very storytelling kind of a young person. I was a journalist on the school paper, and I was always writing and I was always reading. Went to UC Santa Cruz, studied literature and psychology, which I didn't do anything with except go to Silicon Valley and start working as a technical trainer. So I was there for about 20 years in the HR departments doing technical training for software and manufacturing companies, actually. And it turned out, unbeknownst to me, that was an incredibly good way to use all of the information I had learned in psychology, social psychology, and organizational psychology specifically, which were my big loves when I was at school, and also my literature degree, because I needed to do a ton of writing and I needed to learn how to write very clearly and create a lot of content and do a lot of design of content and training. So I did that for a very long time, and then had the opportunity to move home to Santa Barbara. And that was when I shifted to taking all of those career, all that skill set that I had gained in human resources, doing things like employee action plans and career coaching and that sort of thing, really started to use it for my own creative endeavors. What kind of a writer did I want to be? What kinds of things did I want to write? What, if I could do anything, what did I want to do now that I was in Santa Barbara and had this incredibly open opportunity? And so that was how I really transitioned from being what we always call a corporate drone in my house, going to work, 50, 60 hours a week and really trying to help other people, to using all of those skills to help myself to become a narrator, to become an author, and to work with other writers so that they could achieve what they wanted with their books and with their careers.
So how do you work with other writers?
Yeah. One of the most hated things in the industry, in any industry that you're in, if you work for a big company, is the employee performance improvement plan. This means that somehow you've either done something wrong, or maybe somebody has it in for you, or maybe you're not performing up to par. And that's always such a scary and such a terrifying time for an employee. And I did a lot of that work as a trainer. And so one of the things that I learned to love is the fact that each individual working through their career, doing what they need to do to be secure, to earn money, or to do more of what they love, is working towards something always. They're always working towards something. And when they're put on a performance improvement plan, they got to get better at it really, really fast. But you have to talk to them directly and find out what's working and what's not working. And so over all of those years, I learned a whole bunch of different systems, a bunch of different ideas, a bunch of different ways to think about career paths, career planning, and really work individually with each employee who was sent into my office. And so how do I work with them? I work with each person individually. And what I do is I ask them a lot of questions. And sometimes we use a tool and we work through their skills. Sometimes we talk about how they have moved through their career so far, what's worked, what hasn't. And really, we look at their goals, we look at their dreams, we look at how they want to live their life. And we create a specific, unique plan for them to get done what it is that they hope to achieve. And a lot of times in our modern society, we might pick a profession. We might say, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then we allow our time at school, perhaps learning about all the different kinds of law or all the different kinds of medicine, to show us what our path is going to be. And one of the things that's very tricky about being an author in our modern day and age is that there are so many possible paths, but there is no degree in how to be an author. You can study literature, you can study writing, you can study creative writing, you can study journalism, you can go get your MFA in creative writing, you can do all of these things, but not all of the programs put as much emphasis on who do you want to be when you grow up, for lack of a better term, as they do how to be, how to gain the skills to do the writing piece. And those two things really need to be integrated for people to be happy and for them to be productive and for them to live the life that they want to live. And so I really look at each individual very holistically and interview them and talk to them about what's working, what's not working. That's always the starting place. And where is it that they want to go? And then we find tools that will support them in a way that makes sense to them.
Well, you don't have to mention any names, but do you have any success stories that you want to tell?
Oh my gosh, I love success stories. And I don't think any of my clients would be unhappy with me mentioning their names because most of them are on my website. They've done testimonials. The first client that I worked with, kind of in an official capacity, was a lovely Santa Barbara named Jenna Tico. And she, I think almost 2 years ago, put out her first book, which is actually a hybrid memoir. And it was amazing because Jenna came to me and she said, I have all this content. I know it's something, but I have no idea what it is. And I'm done with it. I've written it. I want to put it behind me. I want to go work on new work. And I really want it to be published and out in the world so that I can let go of it. And that's a really wonderful, unique, specific goal. So we looked at the work, we did some editing, we set up, we looked at comps. I walked her through a whole process so that she could decide if she wanted to self-publish. Did she want a hybrid publish? Did she want to try and find an agent and go with a big five publisher? Each of those is a different route to getting this end goal, which is have this book out in the world. And we looked at the time frame, we looked at the resources. She made a bunch of decisions. We decided to do hybrid publishing, so I even helped her with research on what kinds of publishers she was interested in, narrowed that down. Coaching is a combination of three things. Number one is having some industry knowledge. You've got to really be watching the industry, understanding the changes, and taking classes and being involved and talking to people about what's happening. But then you also need to be the most amazing cheerleader in the whole world. You are really holding a safe space for that author in a place that's very scary, right? Our careers and what people will pay us for and what we love, the intersection of those, if you're familiar with the Ikigai concept. There's the things you love, the things you're good at, the things the world needs, and the things that you can actually get paid for. The intersection of those is the ideal, but any place that you've fallen out from those things is a scary place because we gotta, pay for food and rent and all this stuff and have security as well. So, my work with her resulted in a lovely, hybrid memoir. It's poetry, it's prose and essays, and just it's beautiful, called Cancer Moon. Very, very fun, wonderful project. And then another client of mine just published in October her first book, which is also a memoir. And that is called Exposed. And Becky found me via a friend of a friend of a friend and a class that we both had taken. And she said, I really want this to be out in the world. It's an important story. And she didn't even want to be an author. Jenna is going to keep writing for her whole life. It's going to be her career. It's going to be part of who she is. Becky was like, nope, I just want this one thing, and I just want it to be out there. Her career path is going to look much more like doing a lot of work with nonprofit agencies raising funds. And the book is really her ability to clarify and tell her story so that she can help work for workers' rights and safety in biotechnology and these other things that she's much more interested in than sitting and writing all day. She has almost no interest in being a writer. And those career paths are so incredibly different. And recognizing that and being able to help those people get their books out, regardless of the fact that their goals for their writing is going to have an entirely different impact on their life, is what makes this kind of work exciting and fun, both for me and for the person who's trying to plan their next step, their next stage, their third, their fourth, their fifth career, whether it's a side hustle. It could be any of those things. But whatever it is that you're going to make it, having some space to hold the information and having some tools on how to make that a part of your life is how I like to help people.
So, do you prefer to get people early on when they just mainly have the book idea? Or what if they've already done a whole draft? They think that it's done. Or at what stage do you prefer to work with people?
I love working with high school students who are like, well, I think I might want to be a writer, and being like, okay, well, what do you imagine that that looks like? All the way through to, again, folks who are in their third, fourth, fifth, 12th careers doing it as something of a side hustle because they have stories to tell and they have things to say and they are compelled to share those. When an author gets in contact with me, doesn't matter to me at all. What matters is that they are ready to take a career path seriously, whether that leads them to being an author for the rest of their life, and that's how they make all of their income, or starting, posting on Substack and having a little, bi-weekly, tri-weekly series of articles that go out in a way that they're making a small residual income. It doesn't actually matter to me. There's no stage, unfortunately, unlike my parents, probably your parents, where you would be in a career and you might stay in that career for 25 or 30 years and then you would retire. We, certainly my generation, never had the luxury of that. We changed careers and jobs often, and the younger folks coming up behind us, they don't even know that concept of sort of like, oh, being having a job that you stay in for decades at a time. It's almost inconceivable, right? And so if you're going to be successful in taking care of yourself and your family and getting what you need, You have to have some guardrails, a little bit of a plan. You don't have to have the whole thing planned out because that's no fun, right? Those of us who are pantsers as writers, we know that if the outline is too detailed, you've just taken all the excitement out of that draft. But a career is developing a career, planning a career, planning a life that is the life that you want is in many ways so similar to creating a book or narrating or telling stories. You're making it up as you go, but it's really nice to have a little bit of a hint of what's next or what you hope it will look like so that you have something to point towards.
So I know that I have come across a couple of people who I wouldn't work with because one gentleman had over 1,000 pages and he refused any editing,
Sure.
and other people have already published and they didn't, and their book still needed work and they didn't want to unpublish it and work on the books. Some of that kind of things is what I've run into. Have you run into people that you're like, no, that won't work?
Yeah, none of those issues would be a problem for me, mostly because I am not invested in the content. So, at the end of the day, when my work day is finished, the author, the writer, is clear in the next step that they need to take, and the next step after that, and the next step after that. And like I said, sort of really what they want to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, what they want their life to look like. In that sense, it looks much more like life coaching. But in the short term, you can't do any of that unless you are doing your work, unless you're getting better at your writing, unless you are creating work, unless you're sharing work, unless you are increasing your skill set, right? And so I work on both the sort of short term and the long term. But I've worked with people who didn't even want me to read their manuscript. And I'm like, okay, great, no problem. Do you want to be self-published? Are you going to use a hybrid publisher? Which one works? Do you want a small publisher, traditional publisher? Do you want to try to get a big publisher? Do you want to try to be agented? Those pieces have individual small baby steps before you'll be able to do them. Do you have an amazing first page? Do you have an incredible first 10 pages? Do you know how to do a book proposal? And so whatever their long-term goal is, I help them back all the way to what are the very next steps. What are the very next skills they need to acquire? What are the very next things that they need to do to reach that long-term goal? And so for me, unless I get a bad vibe, like somebody's just not actually ready to make a decision about, or they have no idea what they want. Like even people who have no idea what they want, I can say, well, would you like to hear what some of the pros and cons are of each of these ways of creating books and literature in the world? And that might be all they want to talk to me about. And you know, that may be just a couple of hours, and here's some links and check this stuff out. And if any of these sounds good, we can talk some more. But unless someone strikes me as, you know, just really unfriendly, there's probably something that I can do to help them in a here's the next step, and here's the next step, and here's the next step, cheerleading and supporting and an accountability kind of a way.
Well, that's great. That's very interesting because it's good to know about different styles and different, because I know that there's a lot of people who work differently from that, and but people are looking for somebody who's going to coach them the way that you do. So it's
Yeah,
good
it's
that
very
there's
true.
a niche.
And I also feel like the people who I will connect with, they will find me. They'll read the content on my website, or they'll have a conversation with me, and the way that I lay things out, the way that I present information, if it works for them, then they'll come back. And if it doesn't, they'll find the right match, and that is totally okay.
Well, I know you through the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. We both do a lot of creative things around town, but I think that's where I first met you and interacted with you. And people will be able to make one-on-one appointments to speak with you there.
Yes.
But other than that, there's a lot of other stuff going on, and I know that people are always definitely exhausted by the end of the week. Do you have any tips for people who are attending conferences, whether it's the Santa Barbara Conference or maybe other conferences, to get the most out of the conferences without burning out, so to
Yeah,
say?
for sure, for sure. I think that one of the best pieces of advice that I've heard about attending conferences is basically to treat it like a job, or to treat it as an extension of what your life would normally look like. So if, as a writer, you get up every day at 7 and you go to a yoga class, this is my idealized day. You get up at 7, you do a little bit of yoga, you do a warm up, you do a little bit of free writing, you find out what was I working on yesterday. Hopefully, you've left yourself a few notes, and then you go on from there, usually timed so that you don't burn yourself out. You stop, you take a break, you do something else, have lunch with your sweetheart, whatever that is, play with your bird, go back to work, do a little bit more work, and be done with work when you're finished, and then go socialize or do something fun. If you have a routine that keeps you healthy and sane in your life, to the extent that it's possible, try to look at a conference as that same routine, but more intensive. Instead of you going to work and working for those hours, you're going to be in sessions during those hours. You're going to be paying a huge amount of attention to the other writers around you so that you can learn from what they're saying and what they're doing. And then the socializing aspect, the lunch or the dinner or the times late at night when you're hanging around and you're not thinking about your own work, you can have these conversations about your life, their life, work-life balance, how you can coordinate things as a writer to learn from other writers, because they may have the best tips and tricks in the book, or they may be completely different, and you'll be like, wow, I really don't want to do that. A great example at our writers' conference is the pirate sessions. It is so tempting to stay up from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. for 5 days straight and get almost no sleep and hear great work and listen to people reading. But if you do that, then when you get home, you're going to be so burnt out that it'll be very difficult to go back to your work. And so it's not possible really to like be completely out of your space and have a routine and a schedule. But to the extent that you can continue to incorporate the things that you know keep you sane, keep you happy, keep you flexible, incorporating those into your conference experience is one of the best pieces of advice that I think I've ever gotten.
Well, that's wonderful advice, and you've given us tons and tons of things to think about. Is there any final kind of tips or anything that you want to impart?
No, I would say I'm super excited to do the one-on-one sessions with folks and just meet them where they are. I always like to think of a career as a writer as finding out where you are on a series of variables on a spectrum, whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether you have great support from your family, or whether you're trying to do this, alone in the moments in between your baby waking up, whether you're a generative writer and you love just sitting down and creating stuff, or whether at the end of the day, you actually really prefer to edit and generating is hard for you. There's all of these different variables which go into being a happy writer, being a happy, productive creator in the world. And I think that that is a really important thing that we don't talk about enough in our culture. We talk about productivity and how to be more productive and how to do more, but do we talk about making sure that our lives are happy and fulfilled while we're doing that? Not enough. So I love talking about those things with authors. And if somebody comes to me and they don't actually have any idea what it is that they want, we'll just do a tarot card reading. We'll just pull a couple of tarot cards and I'll be like, okay, what does your book have to tell you? Let's pull some cards and let's talk about it. 'Cause that's always kind of a little bit fun and a little bit creative, and it can help unblock and open some people up. So I have lots of tools and lots of very fun things. I do try to make it fun, because ultimately I want more people in the world to be happy doing the work that they choose. And that's the place that I'm always coming from.
Well, I'd probably be more likely to end up playing poker with them, but yes, no, that's very creative and very, very fun. And thank you very much. I will link to your website in the show notes, but is there any other places you want people to follow you or get a hold of you?
No, I am still having sort of a, post-pandemic love-hate relationship with social media. You can find me on all the places, author Yvette Keller. My website is yvettekeller.com, and there is a tab there that just says coaching. So you can find me and request a meeting. My initial consultations are always free. Again, just because if my skills aren't what someone needs, it's better to find that out early. And I have lots of other wonderful people that I work with, hybrid publishers and people who can help with very specific things like marketing or editing or individual pieces, that I love to refer people to. So, I also love to just be a resource for, writers who are in some way stuck and need to just get unstuck and have someone holding their hand, maybe, or just in their corner to help them along. Because often this is a lonely business with a lot of variables, and it's nice to have somebody help you through all of that.
Yes, it definitely is. So, I will be looking forward to seeing you in June, and I thank you very much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and see you in the summer.